Good to see you all here this morning. Yesterday, we had our first children's quiz meet of the year. And this year, we're quizzing over Joshua, Judges, and Ruth. And I have had as many as 7 kids with me in quizzing, but only 2 went to the quiz meet yesterday. So why don't you girls come up here? This was Jocelyn's very first quiz to participate. She went last year to a couple of the quiz meets with us, and she did really well. She, first of all, did all 5 of her memory verses, and then she got a bronze. She missed a total of 7 questions yesterday, so she did really well. Then this is the first quiz of the last year. Jacqueline will be quizzing with the kids. She says she's going to teen quiz next year, Steve, wherever you are, and Tyler. She did real well yesterday. She got all 5 of her memory verses. Then she got 2 perfect rounds. She would have had 3 perfect rounds, except she missed the very last question. So some of the questions they are asking this year are not questions that the kids are studying. They're just questions that the kids have to figure out in their own minds. So that was one of those questions. So she got a gold. And then she did the 7-Up Challenge and got all 7 of them. Jocelyn got 4 of the 7-Up Challenge questions before she had to sit down. And yesterday there were only 5 churches represented in the blue level. And they do team quizzes, or they do, teams. And so there was a team from one church, and then there was a team from another church, and then all the kids from the other churches made up the 3rd team. And so she was in a team with Joplin Calvary and Mountain Grove and her. And they came in 2nd place by 0.01%. So do you want to do a memory verse? Okay, so we had a good time yesterday.
Would you stand this morning?
We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into His house, gathered in His name to worship Him. We have come into Christ the Lord, worship Him.
worship this morning. Greet one another.
I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter his courts with
The power was out in several blocks in this area this morning, and we regained power shortly before 9 o'clock this morning, so we're trying to get things a little bit warmer in here. It just makes a good excuse for you guys to cuddle and huddle together and snuggle a little bit this morning. But we do want to say good morning and welcome to you all. We have several visitors that I see out there, and we want to say welcome to you this morning. Hopefully you guys grabbed one of these white bulletins on your way in this morning. I have some updates and some corrections to the bulletin that I want to go ahead and touch on. The first one being we're supposed to have an SDMI meeting at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We are going to postpone that until next Sunday evening. Pastor Gary is out on vacation finishing up today, so we're going to postpone that to next Sunday afternoon. For those of you that are church board members, reminder that tomorrow evening we do have our monthly meeting here at the church at 6:30. We have started cantata practice on Wednesday nights. For those of you that may have thought, hey, maybe I'd like to do that, it's not too late for you to start. We've got about 20 people that are going to be singing in this year's cantata. So if you'd like to be a part of that, you can see Steve Kravitz. Be here at 6:30 on Wednesday. We'll have our regular Bible study and our teen and children's gatherings at those times. Then one of the corrections and changes is this coming Thursday, the senior adults were supposed to have a fall trip, and that is going to be moved until the 29th. We had a little bit of scheduling conflicts, but the senior adult trip is postponed to Thursday the 29th. You all will leave here at the church about 9:45 in the morning and return around 2 o'clock in the afternoon. The outing will be to the Mennonite General Store and Restaurant in Lead Mine, Missouri. That is just north of Buffalo. There is a note that says, please bring cash or check. With it being a Mennonite store, they don't accept credit cards or a debit card. So for the senior adults, this not this Thursday, but the following Thursday, an outing up north a little ways. Then a reminder, men's ministry breakfast is this Saturday at 8, and then the ladies will also be taking an outing down to the Keter Center down at College of the Ozarks. Next Sunday, we do have our monthly dogs dinner. That's our Dinner on the Ground Society, where we celebrate and fellowship for those that have had birthdays and anniversary in the months. And we also invite our guests for that as well. It is the month of October, which means two different things for the Nazarene Church. One of them being that this entire month is Pastor Appreciation Month. And I believe out on the credenza there is a basket.
Can I interrupt you 1 second? We have them right here.
These baskets right here.
Now, would you have baskets in Pastor... one for Pastor Gary and one for Pastor Don. Pastor Don's here. You know, if his ears burn, that's okay. But this year, instead of buying individual gifts from the church, we're going to allow each and every one of you to bring cards, gifts, whatever you want. The basket's going to be out here for the next... We'll probably extend this. We're getting a little later start than we intended to. But through the rest of October and maybe the first part of November, bring appreciation cards, gifts, money, dogs, whatever you want. Stick in these baskets and show your appreciation for Pastor Don and Pastor Gary. And they will, be out on the credential for the next few weeks. Thank you.
All right. I stole his announcement there. But the next one is, in October we have Halloween, and we will be doing a trunk or treat as we've done in years past. So any of you, as we get closer to Halloween, that want to participate, bring candy, drop it off at the office. We'll be having our cars out in the parking lot on the 31st as well. Closer to Halloween, we'll let you know more details as far as the time goes. Mary Willard has her hand up. 5:30 to 7:30. All right, so our trunk or treat will be 5:30 to 7:30. And let me say that this is an outreach to the surrounding neighborhoods. In past years, we've had as many as 400 kids come through trunk or treat. So it gets them familiar with the church lot, allows them a safe place to come and do trick-or-treating. So that'll be on the 31st. So we've got a quick video, and then Paul is going to finish up our announcements.
Tell your dad to figure it out. I'm taking a bath.
Okay.
Honey.
No.
Okay.
Mom?
Yes.
I can't find Howard.
Your hamster?
Yeah.
I found him.
Mom, are you trying to have me time? What's for dinner?
How many of you have had one of those days? I know as a stay-at-home mom, I had many of those days. This is just an introduction to our ladies' retreat, and I'm very excited. It's coming up in January 29th to 31st. I'm trying to hand out invitations to everybody, but if I miss you, there'll be some on the Welcome Center. So if you have any questions about that, feel free to ask me or any of the ladies in the council. Also, I wanted to give a quick note to tell you that Craft Night is the 29th. We're making some really pretty picture frames. And our fall outing to C of O is October 24th, and that should have some really pretty foliage. So I hope to see all of you there. Thank you.
One day during the General Assembly in the United States, my husband had gone as the mission director. Others of the missionaries and national leaders had gone. I wasn't feeling alone. I felt comfortable with the culture and language at that time. But I received a telephone call in the mission office, and it was Pastor Han, way down country in a little pioneer church. And he emphasized, "My wife is dying. Please come and help me. My wife is dying. Please come and help me." He took me to a small little lean-to against another building. I knelt down and told her who I was. I prayed with her. I whispered in her ear, "Mrs. Han, don't give up. We're part of an international church, and together we're going to pray for God's miracle in your life." I contacted my husband. We contacted the General Assembly and said, "We really need a miracle. There is no money in Korea. No money for this little pioneer pastor and his wife and this child. Is it possible for me to make a promise that we together would gather together in prayer and support?" And the answer came back, "Yes, we will." I asked immediately at the information desk, "I want to meet the medical director." After listening, after examining Mrs. Han, he said, "I will donate my services. What else can you do?" And I said, "I promise you one thing, sir. We as Nazarenes love her. We want to see a miracle happen, but we have no money." And he wept. He said, "I am not a believer, but together, let's work together." I so well remember the faith of Pastor Han as we walked together through that lobby area, and the prayers that he prayed audibly. There were other believers that agreed with us that God was in that room, in the surgical suite. We ended up, no medical bill was sent to them. The International Church of the Nazarene prayed for a miracle, and I was privileged to see it happen that day. And now as I see Pastor and Mrs. Han, he has been elected as the Korea District Superintendent. She's such a faithful wife and worker.
By the help of that operation, I was able to do faithfully my ministry. And now I became the DS that served the district. When I look back at that time, I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful, and I cannot forget forever. Thank you very much.
My name is Joanna Schubert. Together with my husband, Ken Schubert, we served as missionaries in the beautiful country of South Korea for 20 years. I thank you for praying and giving me the confidence as a young missionary wife that I could go and make that all happen.
I don't know what that film said to you, but it touched my heart. We serve a great God. We serve a prayer-answering God. And aren't you glad for a church that will give and sacrifice? And she said she called the General Assembly. There was several thousand people at that General Assembly who prayed, and God wrought the miracle that was needed in Korea. There's a lot of miracles happening around our world today, and we're so blessed to be a part of what God is doing. This time we'll invite our ushers to come to receive our weekly tithes and offerings.
Father, we're very thankful this morning to be in your presence, to be in your church among your people. And we just thank you for your many blessings that you bestowed upon this church. And we thank you for the faithfulness of your people that we, as we give a portion of what you have blessed us with, that it goes to further thy kingdom. Once again, Lord, we pray that you bless this offering, bless each gift and each giver. In Christ's name we pray this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, hail Emmanuel.
glad when we can bring all our needs, our problems, lay them down before the Lord. Mercy, grace, and kindness. I'm sure that probably every one of you here today has a need that you'd like to see met in your life. I know there are in my life and in my family, and we're really seeking God to come on the scene and do some special things. We have at least 10 people who are on our prayer list. Cody, Julie, and Chris Downing, and Dee's friend that has cancer in California. Janet's with us today. Aren't you glad to see her? And we're also very thankful for Cheryl, who's filled in so ably for us, and appreciate her. Good to have Leo back with us today. Leo and Vonda, and Hazel is here today, back over here. We're glad that she is here. And Kelly and Jacob, I think, are at home today. Kelly's recovering from gallbladder surgery, and Jacob's recovering from a tonsillectomy. And so we're happy to lift them in prayer. And then Maxine Thompson is here with us today. She's working with a broken collarbone, and so the list goes on, and there are several that we need to remember, and you may have some. Chad Montgomery is recuperating from foot surgery. He broke his foot, and so we need to remember all of these and just carry them before the Lord and ask Him to intercede on their behalf. As we play this next song, if you'd like to pray here at the altar, we'd certainly invite you to come forward and let your request be made known to the Lord. I do have a card I would read to you while we're standing. It's from Iris and Gerald. It says, "Many thanks to my church family for your many prayers and the beautiful flowers. Love to y'all." And Iris and Gerald are here with us today. They went over to the rest home this morning for that service. I don't know if we had a new record over there today or not, but I think we had 18 in that service at the rest home this morning. So we're praising God for that also. And we're glad you're here. We have a number of visitors with us, and we want to welcome them and make them feel like they're right at home. Someone was talking to me here a while back about coming to church, and I said, our church always has the latch string out. Now, for some of you younger people, have no idea what a latch string is, but in the old timers' homes, they drilled a hole through the door. The latch was on the inside, and they put the string on the outside when people were welcome. When you came to the door, you pulled the latch string, the door would open, and you were welcome into their home. And you're welcome here with us in worship today. The latch string is out. So let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we are blessed to be in the Lord's house today. We are blessed to be able to come before the throne and make the needs known to you. Father, the greatest need of our world, our country, is the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior. There's so many around us today, Lord, that seem so confused and mixed up about what Christianity really means. We're called by all kinds of names. We're called haters. We're called all sorts of things that and many people are led to believe that we don't know what we're doing. But Father, you know what's going on. You know what's happening in our world. You know what's happening in our country. Lord, we pray for our president. We pray for all of those who have positions of authority across our country today, that there would be an awakening, a spiritual awakening, a time of coming to know Jesus Christ. Lord, you see the problems. You're aware of them. And the great cure is God Himself working in hearts and lives. Then, Lord, we think today of those who are ill and afflicted. You're the great physician. There's never been anyone like you, Lord. With your touch, in a moment, you can heal and make a difference in lives and change diseases around so that they no longer have their authority over us. Father, we look up to you today and we believe you. We're trusting you. And as we bring this service to you, Lord, we pray for everyone that's here today. We pray for those that aren't able to be with us. We pray for our pastor, Lord, that you would be with him as he's taking some vacation and that you would encourage him. And Father, may he come back refreshed in the things of God. May next week be a great week in his and Jennifer's life as they come back to minister to us here. Now, Lord, add your blessings to this service today. May this be a time of drawing close to you and near to you. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, I want to welcome you today on behalf of Pastor Gary. Some of our visitors are personally acquainted with him and know him. And we want you to come back next Sunday and hear him. He's going to preach next Sunday right here. And if you can't come Sunday, well, you can come Wednesday night because we're going to have a time of Bible study back in the fellowship hall. So regardless of what day it may be convenient for you, I would just love to have you come back and be a part of our worship time together. I'd like for you to turn with me this morning to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. My wife says I give all these scriptures, you know, even when you've pastored for 50-plus years, your wife kind of keeps you on the ball. And she said that I didn't give you enough time to turn in the scriptures. And with the screens that we have today, sometimes people don't turn in the scriptures. But we'd like for you to have your Bibles, and if you have the opportunity to open them to the 139th Psalm. Everybody here like to read the book of Psalms? Is that a good thing for you? Do you enjoy that? The writer to Psalms had ups and downs all through his life. And I think we resemble him many times today. We have ups and we have downs. We have good times and we have some times that are pretty difficult. But he shares with us some songs of praise and joy and triumph. And all of us, as Christians today, need to feel that we're on the winning team and that God has the answer for our world in this day and this time. I can remember when the Church of the Nazarene was known as the happiest church in town. We just had a great time worshiping together. And I'd like to, I don't want to go back to those days, but I'd like to see and experience some of the joy of God's people when we get together and just have a good time. And all of us need a song in our hearts, a song of joy sung to the divine doctor of all ills. You know, God is the great healer. God turned things around in hearts and lives, and has been for years since history begun. And so all of us need some soul therapy every once in a while. We talk about all kinds of other therapies. When Ruth had her knee replaced, she had to have therapy for a while to recover from that surgery. And Janet's going through some of that right now, to be able to use that leg like it should be. And I think we need some soul therapy every once in a while to just feel like God is there and God cares and God's doing His best in our hearts and our lives. I want to be a part of that. Do you want to be a part of that? I need that soul therapy. This God that we keep talking about and that I've preached about for a number of years is the God who transcends all of the things that are taking place in our world. How many of you think we live in a world that really needs God today? You feel that way? I feel that way. Our young people need the Lord working in their hearts and lives. Our children need the Lord working in their hearts and lives and in their parents' lives. And I'd just like to see a great revival that would flood the Church of Jesus Christ. And I believe God's ready to do that. I believe God wants to do that in our hearts and in our lives. Sometimes we struggle. Sometimes we're puzzled. But God is ever with us through it all. Let's read in that 139th Psalm. O Lord, you have searched me and you know me. You know when I sit down and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. You hem me in behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Lord, we give you praise today for this scripture. We're thankful for every person that's here. And we ask, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would settle upon us just now. May we feel your divine holy presence. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. God has each one of us in His thoughts. If you care to turn down to the 16th verse there, He says, Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast is the sum of them? Were I to count them, they would number the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. You ever tried to count grains of sand? Well, I'm a math whiz myself, but I've never been able to count the grains of sand. And when we stop to consider the universe that we live in, and we don't know a lot of things about what's out there beyond the reach of our galaxy, but probably there's sand scattered throughout all of God's creation. And He is contemplating the power of God, and God's directed thoughts turned to Him. You think God thinks about you? You think God is interested in what happens to you? I believe He is today. I believe He cares about your smallest need, but I also believe He cares about your largest need. I can't count sand. But you know what? I can depend on the God who made all of it, who created all of it, regardless of whether I can count it or not. We might call that beach theology. Now, I don't know much about beach theology, but I know the God that created the beaches with all of the sand. And so we have that privilege, serving Him. I don't know how fast light travels, but I'm told that it travels 186,000 miles a second. And if you could travel at the speed of light, it would take 153,000 light years to go from one end of our galaxy to the other. Think about that. Too big for me to think about. I can't even begin to comprehend that. Now, that's estimated. There hadn't been anybody from one end of our galaxy to the other. It's incredible. We serve an awesome God. We serve a God who is real. And He has created galaxies beyond number. Scientists estimate there are 50,000 galaxies out there. Again, that's an estimate, because nobody's been out there, as far as I know, other than the Creator Himself. But we serve this incredible, awesome, unfathomable God, and Scripture reminds us of God's infinite grace. What does God's grace mean to you? Well, I can't go through all of the details because I don't know them all. But His grace tells me that He loves you just like you are. And He cares for you just like you are. His grace and mercy tells me that if you'd have been the only human being in the universe, and out of all of those galaxies, God would have sent His Son to die for you and for me and for our sins. He cares that much for each of us. How do we count in the eyes of Almighty God? Let's turn for just a moment to Romans, the 5th chapter, beginning with the 15th verse. But the gift, I need to give you a little time to turn to that page. But the gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many? Again, the gift of God is not like the result of one man's sin. The judgment followed one sin and brought condemnation, but the gift followed many trespasses and brought justification. For if by the trespass of one man death reigned through that one man, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and of the gift of righteousness reign in life through the one man, Jesus Christ? Consequently, just as the result of one trespass was condemnation for all men, so also the result of one act of righteousness was justification that brings life for all men. For just as through the disobedience of one man the many were made sinners, so also through the obedience of one man the many were made righteous. Glory to God. That's exciting to read that. He cares. He shares. He shared his only begotten Son that we might have eternal life. And we should praise God and thank him and enjoy that plan of salvation that he has given for every one of us. In that 17th verse that I read to you, how precious to me are your thoughts, O God. Now, Isaiah, the 49th chapter and verse 16, and we aren't going to turn there this morning, it tells us that our name is engraved in his hand. You think about that. Is that a startling revelation? No. It's been in the book for years. God cares about you so much. Your name's engraved in his hand. And when he looks at his hands, there you are. What a great privilege we have to serve this kind of God. What a great calling we have to be a part of his care and to know that he cares for us that much. Jesus Christ died on the cross. And through him, God enables us to deal with real life. We don't live in some kind of a fantasy land. We live on the earth, and that's no startling revelation to you. You walk on it every day. But this isn't a fantasy land. This is where it's real. There's real people out there. There's people with real hurts. There's people with real struggles. And this scripture leads me to believe that God really cares about everyone. God really cares about you and your struggles. How we deal with the difficulties of life. How do we deal with those things that come into our lives? Think of your past. We could dwell in the past and always be reminded. Sometimes my inadequacies sneak up on me and they're on me before I know it, and so I don't have time to prepare for those things or the failures or the disasters. Ever felt guilty? Ever felt threatened by all of the things that are happening? God can take care of the past. As I looked at these scriptures, the 103rd Psalm tells me this in the 12th verse. Psalm 103:12. As far as the east is from the west, so far he has removed our transgressions from us. Now, you've probably heard me say this before. You can go far enough north to be going south. Or you can go far enough south to be going north. But you can't ever go far enough east to be going west. Or you can't ever go far enough west to be going east. And this scripture says that God removes our transgressions as far as the east is from the west. They're never seen again. When God forgives your sin, when God forgives my sins, they're never, ever, you're never going to cross them again, no matter how far you travel. Those that He's forgiven. Now, if you choose to go back into sin, then you need His forgiveness. We can deal better with life after we accept who we are and who God is. But we can't do that until we are forgiven and we forgive. Being forgiven is part of God's plan. He forgives us. But we must make a decision about forgiving others. And there are people who go all through life struggling with forgiving somebody else. Pastor, you don't know what they did to me. You're right, I don't. But God does. And if He forgives my sins and removes them as far as the east is from the west, and I call myself His child, then I'm in the business of forgiving too, if I hope to make it. Forgiveness is so important to each one of us, but forgiving others is so important too. We must apply God's grace to our daily lives. We're not out here on the planet alone. There are other people there. There are other people who make mistakes. There are other people that have hurts. And we need to be in the business of forgiving them. We need to apply God's grace because He has applied His grace to our hearts and lives. In Job. Job, in this passage of Scripture from the third chapter and the 25th verse says, "What I feared has come upon me. What I dreaded has happened to me." Do we have fears of what's behind? Or maybe we have dread of what's ahead. Job said, and we picture Job, you know, he was the guy that was so faithful to God. He tried to do everything he could, and the devil attacked him. And folks, we are not immune to the attacks of Satan. And Job said, as he looked around him and everything was coming down around him, he said, "What I feared has happened. What I dreaded has come to pass." Our God is so good. He cares so much about it. And God's grace covers it all. In Isaiah, the 44th chapter and verse 22, he says, "I have swept away your offenses like a cloud, your sins like the morning mist. Return to me, for I have redeemed you." Tell you what, shouting ground, folks. Now, don't anybody get too excited and shout. Probably scare me. No, I'd say amen, I think. But you know, we need to be encouraged by what God is doing in hearts and lives. God will help us with understanding and dealing with tomorrow. What's your future? Well, I don't decide that. God does. Look up. God's on the throne. God is there. This is not some catchy phrase that a pastor behind the pulpit is sharing with you. This is the truth. This is from the book. Where am I going? Who am I? The psalmist said here in these verses 1 through 4 that I read to you from that 139th Psalm, that God knows before it happens. You have a thought of something you want to say? Before it reaches from your brain to your tongue, God's already knows what's there. That's how aware God is of you. That's how much He cares about you. God is there. God is there. God is there. This isn't a broken record. This is God's truth. He's there when you need Him. He's there regardless of what happens. The God who was before will never leave us out on our own. Do you know God's never left anyone alone? Never turned His back on anyone? Are you locked into a rut? A spiritual rut. And it's just the same. Day after day after day after day. Well, I want you to know God's got new possibilities for you and for me. I was playing golf the other day and the district superintendent said, "How old are you?" I told him, he told me I looked 10 years younger than what I really was. Man, that next time I really tried to club that ball. Didn't do any good. If you play golf, you know what a worm burner is. It's a drive that gets out there about 10 feet and hits the ground and just scoots. But my possibilities and your possibilities are not locked up in what is taking place in your life now. God can do something special. God can open doors. God is there preeminently. He's the God of yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And you need to be excited about what God wants to do. You need to be happy about what God wants to do for you and your life. The psalmist cried out, "But I need help right now. I don't need help out there tomorrow. I need it right now." Aren't you glad? God says here in this 139th Psalm and the beginning with the fifth verse, He said, "You hem me in behind and before. You've laid Your hand upon me." A God that's in control. He's present tense. He's here now. He's here today. He lays His hand on me. Are you struggling? God has His hand on you. His grace and His mercy. He gives power to cope even in the most difficult circumstances. You think about the worst thing you've been through lately. And then you think about how God brought you through it. And how He's faithful and cares about you. It's not my hand that has the power. It's the God of the universe. And He has you in His hand. He has me in His hand. His power. We're in His hand. The confidence is not in mine and me. The confidence is in Almighty God and faith in Him. My God and your God is a reality in today's world. You ever thought about, boy, I wish God had put that blackboard out there in front of me or on my computer, show me all of the things that are going to take place? God doesn't write out all the answers. You're not going to get it on your iPhone or your iPad unless you have His Scripture pulled up and your confidence is placed in His Holy Word. Faith is not worth much if we already have the answers. The Bible doesn't contain all the details. It tells us what God has done and promises what He will do. I get excited when He tells me what He's going to do. I get excited when I have confidence in what He is going to do. The psalmist discovered the truth. Jesus Christ, God's Son, lived the truth. And through God's grace, we are given the power to deal with every situation and circumstance that we're going to face in life. He says, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. God will hold us and guide us through life if our faith is in Him. In that 139th Psalm, in the 23rd verse, he says, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." A lot of things I don't have confidence in. But in God's Word, you can have confidence that He's going to lead you in the way everlasting if your faith is in Him and you walk according to His Word and His promises to you. And so, as you look toward this week, take the promises of God, apply them to your life, to your living, every step of the way. You can't go wrong with that. You cannot go wrong with that. Because the God who has counted all the grains of sand in the universe, looks upon you and says, I'll be there. And I'll love you. And I'll care for you. And I'll make the changes. And I'll help you make the grade. And I'll help you face the bad times. But oh, I'll give you shouts of joy in the good times. That's the God we serve. Let's stand together. God bless you. Steve, would you close with prayer this morning for us?